Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Wondrous Roots, your health from the ground up. Today is June 10th, Saturday, June 10th, 2023. And here we are again for another session of Wondrous Roots, your health from the ground up. My name is Rebecca Montrone and grew up here in Keene, New Hampshire, a long time ago. And my husband and I both came back here in around 2009. I had already established Wondrous Roots in 2005 and brought it back to our Wondrous Roots. And so that's part of what the Wondrous Roots is all about. But I am an holistic health care practitioner certified through the American Association of Drugless Practitioners and a herbalist. Formulate many herbal products, and whether they be topical, skin care, wounds, bugs, you name it, or internal, from sleep to inflammation to arthritis to problems in the waterworks department or kidney stones, and I guess that would be in the waterworks department, or it might be something like your liver or your gallbladder or weight loss problems or whatever. We've got so many different formulas here. And we are on 103 Roxbury Street, the Miller Forge building here in Keene, New Hampshire, right off one of the major arteries off Central Square in the city of Keene. And we're in the old Miller Forge building up on the third floor. Our operating hours there are 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. And that's when our doors are open and you are welcome to come up. We have a lot of different products, and come on out, up, say hi if you've never been up, and we'd love to meet you. I also see clients in private consultation, and for that, sometimes I will certainly accommodate your schedule if you can't make it during the 9:30 to 5. That's often done, and we'll do that to suit your schedule. Our number here is 603-439-2603. You can also reach out to me at wondrousroots.org by going to the contact section. That email comes to my private email, and I will get back to you. And would also like to say, sometimes people call and want to make appointments and have wonderful help in my office. Mary and Sue are terrific in the front store here. And I just want to say, I schedule my own appointments because I have to have a bit of a heads up about what the problem is. For instance, if you have a new cancer, a diagnosis of cancer or something like that, even though as of today I am booked 65 appointments out, I will get you in before my next. So it's not like a hair appointment. It's not like your typical appointment. I have to be respectful and concern, you know, my concern is for what your issue is. So that's why I do that. And that's why when you call to make an appointment, I have to get back to you. So anyway, the number here again, 603-439-2603. And we've been talking about, I've been doing a series for the last several weeks. I think this is the fifth in the series, if I read my thing right, on Blog Talk Radio. Again, you're listening on Blog Talk Radio. I formerly did this program on WKBK here in Keene, and I have to say my only regret about not doing it in Keene is losing my Keene listeners who listened as they were out and about doing things, like one faithful listener, mail carrier, who loved listening while he was doing his mail route on Saturdays. So I regret that very much, but I really enjoy the freedom otherwise that doing this right here from my own office gives me in many ways. But I would also like to say you can pick up previous broadcasts if you haven't heard them. So most of you get my newsletter, and in each newsletter, I publish the link to the program, which if you're listening, you clicked on today. But if you go back to that newsletter after I've already done the program, you can listen to it. It will take you to it again, and you can listen to the recording. So the snafu there is that you can't fast forward or rewind. So one of my clients last Saturday afternoon emailed me, Connie, and she said, I wanted to listen. I was out and about, and a lot of times I'm busy when you're on at noon. And so I wanted to listen when I got home. And I wanted to rewind because you said something I wanted to hear again. And you can't do that. Well, you can't do that with the nature of the way the podcast is recorded. But I can download the MP3 file, which you can go forward, fast forward, and back up on. So what I've done in today's newsletter is down at the bottom, towards the bottom, I have listed there, and they're hyperlinked to each program from April 8th through, which started out with Marvelous Bergamot and Methylene Blue, all the way up to last week, which was Sensational Sulfur. And those will take you to the MP3 connection where you can listen and you can stop it. Well, you can stop it, right? And you can restart it, and you can go back and you can go forward, especially if you're listening again and you wanted to hear something I said, but you don't want to hear the whole program all over again. So anyway, I'm thrilled about that. And I will be going back and putting those MP3 links in addition to the other link on my website, radio@wondersuits.org. So there's just a little bit of housekeeping I wanted to catch up with you on there. So we've been talking about nutrient deficiencies, and we've talked about why are we so sick. When we look around us today, again, look at where we are. What is the general health of the population? What are the health issues that are chronically bothering people? And I have to say, I am really so glad to be past, we're not past the nonsense when it comes to our health. We never will be. But I am really glad not to be talking all the time about the things that were constantly in our face regarding the pandemic, regarding the jabs. They're there. Most people have figured out how they feel now that the dust has settled about those things. And so I'm not going to spend all my time refuting. In the early days, especially when we started up Rise Up New Hampshire, big, big issue there was people were not aware. Excuse me one second. People were not aware of what was going on. We just grabbing the hand sanitizer, walking 6 feet apart, doing everything that they told us to do, putting that stupid diaper on our faces. Well, not our, because I didn't do that. But there was not, and there was, information was just so covered up. It still is covered up. But it's so good to get past that. So my passion is, this is why I do what I do, and I was doing it a long time before we ever heard of the above mentioned nonsense. So what I want to say is, we have health problems, and they have nothing to do with COVID, right? They have nothing to do with COVID. We were dying. We were sick and dying long before COVID, and we still are. So let's figure out why, and let's take care of ourselves. And one of those ways of doing that is putting back into place nutrients that are missing for whatever reasons. And again, many times needing more of those nutrients in, for example, supplement form because of nutrient deficiencies in our soils, and the pollution all around us, whether it be in the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, the invisible magnetic rays all around us. So we have a lot that we are up against, as I keep saying as I go through this series. We are really kind of in a war zone. So anyway, I'd love to hear from you. If you have something to say, if you have a question, or if you have some insight or anything you want to say to add to this conversation, this is, at this moment when you listen, at noon on Saturdays, noon to 1 p.m. This is a live talk radio program. Our number here is my number here. I say our, but I'm all here all by myself. 563-999-3478. I have myself well put together here in the earlier weeks. You know, something was always going wrong. So we're going to hope for a real smooth ride today. But I can see my switchboard. I can see my email. If somebody doesn't want to call and you want to reach out to me at rebecca@wondersroots.org or rebecca.montrone@gmail.com. And a lot of you who listen already have my email. I can see if you do that too, and I can see my newsletter, so I'm feeling pretty comfortable. So anyway, magnesium. Magnesium is probably one of the greatest mineral nutrient deficiencies, and it is super, super important. We are dead without magnesium. We are not very healthy, and many things that we would not think would be in association with magnesium deficiency are. And there are many things, whether they be medications or lifestyle habits, that make us further deficient in magnesium. So top 10 here we see, or 10, I'm not sure they're the top 10, but this particular website, I say 10 common signs of magnesium deficiency. There are so many more, let me tell you. But one, poor cognitive processing. Two, migraine and chronic headaches. Three, constipation and IBS, fatigue, insomnia, muscle spasms and cramping, chronic pain and fibromyalgia, right? That fibromyalgia, that mysterious thing that your doctor says there is no such thing, or says you have fibromyalgia, but we don't know what to do about it. Heart arrhythmia. And I want to say in that too, and I'm going to get to this, blood pressure. Going kind of about blood pressure wrong, I think, with all of the nitric oxide boosting things that we're doing in the natural health world, such as super beets and beet powder and nitric oxide, citrulline and L-arginine. Let's look at magnesium. Also, I learned recently in my studying on methylene blue that we don't want so much nitric oxide. Maybe that's another topic for another day, excuse me. Another topic for another day. Nitric oxide, very important, but it needs to be in balance, and we don't want to be hyper boosting it. Yeah, it's fine to eat beets, but do we want to be taking beet supplements? I bet some of you, your ears are perked up there, because mine were, actually, when I learned this. So anyway, I don't want to digress too much. So we talked about heart arrhythmia, and then I went off on blood pressure. Numbness and tingling. Mood disorders. So this is, I really love Green Med Info. If you're looking, my newsletter is a great resource. That's its intention. That's why I do it. 107 abstracts, okay, listed like in the PubMed database on magnesium deficiency research. So this isn't stuff that's out there on the wing, out there on the side. These are things that are known, and I'm going to be going through a few of those in a bit. Then we're going to talk about magnesium-rich foods and also magnesium supplementation. So I guess the first thing I'm going to do is go to this. This is Dr. Jocker's very excellent resource. Then I've got one also today by Josh Axe, Dr. Josh Axe, chiropractor. I'm nutritionist. I really appreciate his work and really can recommend them as good sources, Dr. Jockers. So here we go to 10 signs of magnesium deficiency. It says here, just a little backdrop, magnesium is one of the most abundant minerals in the human body and is used in over 300 different physiological processes. Unfortunately, magnesium is also one of the most pervasive deficiencies in our society today. Now let's go from the, don't you hate coming from the, oh, the attitude of want and need. I hate that. It's just such a dismal place to be coming from. So let's think about this instead of coming from a place of abundance, right? Let's talk about coming from a place of, okay, if we know we're deficient, let's just get it. And we can. So this is always supposed to be good news. It's not supposed to be bad news. It's supposed to be good news, because if you find out that you've been suffering in probably a multitude of ways that are connected to magnesium deficiency, then guess what? You can fix it. So anyway, it's exciting. It's exciting. So I just want to get that. I always hate the EOR kind of, oh, we're so deficient. Oh, I don't have enough. Well, you can have enough. So anyway, could the lack of magnesium be influencing your health negatively? This article breaks down the signs of a magnesium deficiency and the best ways to get more in your diet. And I'm going to tell you later in my newsletter, I have the book by Dr. Carolyn Dean, who is a MD and she's a medical doctor and a naturopath. She wrote this book back in, it's so interesting because I believe my father gave me this book I am holding in my hand. And I was opening it up and I found as a book, 2007. So it, hot off the press back then, because I found a receipt for a garage in Windham in 2007 as my bookmark in this book. And, or at least it was in there. I don't know if it was a bookmark, but it was stuffed in the book. Probably because as I was getting my tires done, I was reading the book. Yeah, that's probably what happened. But anyway, there is now a second edition out and I am going to get it. And I have put the link on my website. You can get it at Amazon.com. And, this is really, I might get, if I have time towards the end of the program, I am going to go ahead and probably read you a couple of case studies of people with different, three people with three different things that she highlights in her book and how they were resolved when magnesium came back to holding its proper place in the body. Okay, according to American neurosurgeon Norman Shealy, MD, PhD, almost every known disease is associated with a magnesium deficiency. This may sound like a bold statement at first, but it actually makes a lot of sense considering the number of roles it plays in the body. This also explains why there are such a diverse set of symptoms that occur when you are not getting enough of it. This is super important, and you'd think, oh, come on, Becky, that's what you said about iodine. You read all those things. Yes, exactly. So can you imagine? We're in a population, think about it, that is virtually both iodine and magnesium deficient. Both. And they're both critical. And we wonder why everybody has so many health conditions. People have so many disparate health conditions. You know, list them right there and all the medications that go with them. Then we're going to find out how those medications, many of them, deplete your minerals and magnesium, in specifically speaking today. Okay, this also explains why there are such a diverse set of symptoms that occur when you are not getting enough of it. There are 10 major signs that clue me, Dr. Jocker says, clue me in as to whether or not someone has a magnesium deficiency. Poor cognitive processing. If you are dealing with frequent bouts of brain fog, poor concentration, or constant memory issues, you may have a magnesium deficiency. Structure in every cell of the body called mitochondria. Oh, wow. I am the mitochondriac, as I have often said, especially lately talking about methylene blue, but I won't digress. Are responsible for producing the energy that the body uses for everything. Again, mitochondria, powerhouses of your cells. This is a really just quick recap. Our cells have mitochondria. They're these little energy-producing circles. Picture them in a cell. And they're really, when we're young, they're really tight, and there's tons of them, and they're just cranking out ATP, adenosine triphosphate, that they're making from the nutrients you take in. And they're cranking it out, and you are just bursting with youth and good health and vitality and energy throughout your body and brain. And then as we get older, mitochondrial energy begins to slow down around age 30. Okay, so 30 is pretty young. The mitochondria are fewer. They start to get larger, sloppier, less efficient. And so they're not doing their work like they should be. Okay. The brain contains the highest concentration of mitochondria in the male body. Females actually have a higher concentration in their ovaries. Keep that in the back of your mind because it's very important for fertility, right? And eggs, oocytes, we call them in the science books, eggs are healthier and produce healthier embryos and healthier pregnancies when they have higher mitochondrial energy. That's another good topic for another day. Mitochondria are heavily dependent on magnesium for energy production, so deficiency can hamper your brain performance significantly. It comes as no surprise that supplemental magnesium has been shown to improve learning and memory. Here, we've been recommending the form magnesium L-threonate, particularly for that part of our person, the brain. And then two, headaches and chronic migraines. It has been found that sufferers of chronic migraines often have lower levels of magnesium in their bodies. Considering how important magnesium is for proper nerve function, this makes a lot of sense. Magnesium also plays the additional key role of regulating neurotransmitter production, which can also influence migraines. Supplemental magnesium taken on a regular basis has been shown to decrease both the frequency and intensity of migraine headaches. Additionally, magnesium has been shown to have the same effect on non-migraine headaches as well. That's super important. And you know why I think that is? Magnesium is a muscle relaxant. So tension headaches are from tension. Tension is muscles tightening. And then it says much of this has to do with magnesium's ability to help regulate calcium balance within neuronal cells. That makes so much sense too. Too much calcium can lead to neurotoxic effects where the brain cells are overstimulated. And this is a major factor in headaches and migraine formation. Very, very important. So magnesium, basically, I would say with headaches right there, and I'll bet it gets even more complex and detailed, but that's three reasons. The big deal is mitochondrial energy when it comes to migraines. When mitochondrial energy is low, the blood vessels don't have a balance of dilation. All right, so they're more dilated in one area and more constricted in another. So mitochondrial energy really helps with that. And I want to go right here to a little bit of a lap over to a couple of things. Magnesium is so important for the production of adenosine triphosphate, ATP, which is mitochondrial energy. Magnesium it's super, super important during the whole reproductive cycle of women. We were just talking about that. Now, notice, women, how many of you out there have noticed that in the second half of your cycle, after you ovulate and before you get your period, so that's about midway, the last 2 weeks, PMS time, you crave chocolate, right? So many people say that. Chocolate actually is a source of magnesium. Now, magnesium is super important for generating that ATP. And women who get menstrual migraine, it's because their ATP is plummeting because progesterone towards the end of the cycle, right before you get your period, is high, but then it has to fall for you to end that cycle and start another one, and which means getting your period. And you get a migraine because that magnesium. So rather than the chocolate, which has probably, you know, if it's good chocolate and it's a moderate amount, we can call it healthful, but it's telling you something. Not that you need more chocolate. It's telling you that you need magnesium. So we'll talk about getting more of that in a bit. Okay, so constipation and IBS. Constipation is one digestive issue I hear all the time, says Dr. Jockers. Proper magnesium intake actually softens stools by drawing water into the bowels, supporting healthy elimination. If stools become too hard, they move slower through the colon and become a problem. This is why I always recommend magnesium when I hear this complaint. I do too, but I use like a poorly absorbed form of magnesium for that. But at the same time, using a better absorbed form of magnesium so that you're actually getting magnesium into the cells of the body. Additionally, magnesium plays a major role in regulating muscle contractions in the intestines. And this is why a magnesium deficiency often results in constipation. That's really interesting. In this way, magnesium can also be very helpful in relieving discomfort and cramping due to intestinal bowel inflammatory bowel syndrome, IBS, or other similar conditions. So not causing a contraction of the muscles like a laxative does. You know, you take a laxative and all of a sudden you get that griping feeling and you have to go. And then you can become dependent on that. But magnesium is just restoring the normal electrical signals so that your muscles are contracting as they're supposed to. Normally, we call that peristalsis. And that is kind of that involuntary contraction all throughout the digestive tract from the minute you start eating up in the as soon as you swallow. We've got that going on through the small intestine and then throughout the whole large intestine and colon. And it's something we don't control. We need adequate magnesium to make sure that that is happening. So stool, very interesting. He's got a really interesting chart of different stool. It's not really pleasant to look at. Fatigue, number four, fatigue. Magnesium is highly involved with energy production. As mentioned before, the mitochondria in your cells heavily rely on magnesium to produce energy. Your mitochondrial function primarily determines your energy levels. Yep, we just had that lesson. Additionally, magnesium supports the adrenal glands, which can play a huge part in energy production as well. And the kicker, because magnesium is involved in so many enzymatic processes in the body, deficiency will make it harder to perform over 300 normal processes. This acts as a chronic stressor on your body and drains your energy, not to mention these other things. Wow. If you are chronically fatigued, you may have a magnesium deficiency, and increasing your magnesium intake can improve your energy levels drastically. And so interesting, too, because magnesium is a natural tranquilizer. So people take their magnesium supplements at night because it helps them with sleep. So again, when we talk about boosting mitochondrial energy, we're not talking about a stimulant. We're not talking about something that jazzes us up and makes us feel like we had a coffee or we had, you know, a caffeine drink of some sort of stimulant. No. This is giving us real energy from our cells and super important. So here we go. If you're chronic, okay, blah, 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 blah. Magnesium, the master mineral, fully supports blood sugar balance. That's another big one that would be surprising. I think it can be a little surprising to me because when I think of blood sugar, I tend to think more of things like chromium and vanadium. And I didn't really think that much about magnesium for that. That's why I love what I do, because I keep studying and learning. I'm always in school. Optimal circulation and blood pressure. There we go. Cellular energy production. A calm nervous system. Pain relief and relaxed muscles. Bone density and calcium balance. We really want to touch on that a little bit. Calcium, calcium, calcium. We are calciumed to death. And that's about one of the only supplements your doctor will ever think to recommend you take. And it's the one you probably shouldn't be taking. So get into that a little bit. Joints and ligament flexibility, deep sleep patterns, and more. During the last 40 years, thousands of studies and research documents have been published proving that magnesium is a crucial nutrient supporting more than 300 functions in your body. So now we get to number five in Dr. Docker's list, insomnia. Insomnia is one of the big conditions I see a lot of improvement in when beginning magnesium supplementation. This is because magnesium is involved in the production of GABA in the brain. GABA is what is known as an inhibitory neurotransmitter. This just means a chemical that promotes relaxation. If you don't have enough magnesium to produce adequate amounts of GABA, your sleep will likely suffer. Although there are nutrients involved with GABA production, magnesium is a critical factor that will heavily determine your sleep quality. Okay. It says here for mild insomnia, 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium threonate, malate, or glycinate per night. Nearly 50% of older adults have insomnia, and most do not meet the RDA for magnesium intake. And the RDA is really a low bar anyway. It really isn't for optimal health. It's just like to keep you from death. Number six, muscle spasms and cramping. Because magnesium is so important for proper nerve transmission, it comes as no surprise that it also plays a vital role in muscle contraction. When magnesium is depleted, muscle contractions can become weak and uncoordinated, leading to involuntary spasms and painful cramps. This is actually one of the most common early signs of magnesium deficiency. Spasms typically occur in the legs, feet, and sometimes even in places like the eyelids. If you are a woman, you may also experience worsened PMS-related cramping when magnesium stores are low. Really important for women here to get that magnesium in there, not just when you're during your premenstrual time, but all the time. And then you won't even have a lack when you come to that time. Wouldn't that be nice? And isn't that an easy, you know, we're doing, all, even in the world of natural health and in the world of supplements and things, we're doing all kinds of things to help, you know, promote GABA, whether they be herbs or whether they be something like L-theanine or something to take the edge off anxiety. What if all of that is just because you don't have enough magnesium? You don't need 15 different things. You need magnesium. Muscle tension symptoms, tightness in the muscles, especially in the back, shoulders, neck, and abdomen. Muscle tenderness, fatigue, tension headache, stress, anxiety, muscle spasms, muscle pain, and soreness. So number seven, we come to chronic pain and fibromyalgia. Chronic pain and related conditions like fibromyalgia are heavily related to tension carried in the body. This tension can be purely physical, but can also be aggravated by emotional stress as well. Emotions such as anxiety, anger, and worry all contribute to physical tension. Over time, this chronic tension leads to pain. When magnesium stores are low in the body, the nervous system can become hyperexcitable, meaning overly stimulated. And that can increase muscle tension. Magnesium can play a role here by helping to elicit an overall calming effect on the mind and body while soothing and relaxing the muscles. Wow, it's a one-stop shop. Heart arrhythmia. So much of that today. So many people with AFib, atrial fibrillation, right? Also, mitral valve prolapse, which I have, which is actually an anatomical abnormality. It's a very common one. But magnesium can correct it. And that's really cool. The heart is a muscle that, and signs of that would be irregular heartbeat. And I used to have that. And the magnesium really, really helps control that. The heart is a muscle that constantly contracts inside our bodies without needing to be consciously controlled. Just as with other muscles in the body, the heart relies heavily on magnesium for proper contractility. This is thought to be due to its role in regulating calcium and potassium contractions in the muscle tissue. So think of it this way. Calcium is a muscle contractor. Magnesium is the relaxer. And magnesium is also what regulates the opening and the closing of the calcium channels. And so think about that, right? You have high blood pressure, your doctor has you on a calcium channel blocker. So what you need is magnesium. You don't need a drug. You don't have that problem because of a deficiency of pharmaceuticals. You have that problem because of a deficiency of a very vital nutrient, magnesium. If you notice that your heart beats irregularly, magnesium may be something to address. Oh, yes, I would say more than may be. This includes rapid heartbeats, slow heartbeats, and sudden changes in heart rhythm for no apparent reason. So the bodily functions, magnesium regulates calcium, right? So you're like, well, don't I need both calcium and magnesium? You do, but most people get abundant, have a lot of calcium, and it's not where it needs to be, which is why it's magnesium that causes osteoporosis, magnesium deficiency, I mean, not calcium deficiency. It's very interesting. Carolyn Dean in this book, and I'm just going to find that little spot where she does that, page 21 I wrote down. Bear with me as I turn my pages. She says, to understand how you can create a calcium-magnesium imbalance in your own body, try this experiment in your kitchen. Crush a calcium pill and see how much dissolves in 1 ounce of water. That's fun. Then crush a magnesium pill and slowly stir it into the calcium water. When you introduce the magnesium, the remaining calcium dissolves. It becomes more water-soluble. The same thing happens in your bloodstream, heart, brain, kidneys, and all the other tissues in your body. If you don't have enough magnesium to help keep calcium dissolved, you may end up with calcium excess muscle spasms, fibromyalgia, hardening of the arteries, calcium deposits, and even dental cavities. Another scenario plays out in the kidneys and bladder. If there is too much calcium in the kidneys and not enough magnesium to dissolve it, you can get kidney stones. Calcium deposited throughout the bladder can make it rigid, lowers its capacity, and can lead to frequent urination. Not only frequent urination, in women we can often see it leading, and I'm not going to say not in men, but in women we often see that urinary incontinence, especially with age. And magnesium. A proper balance of magnesium in relation, I'm reading from Carolyn Dean's book here, Magnesium Miracle. A proper balance of magnesium in relation to calcium can prevent these symptoms. Calcium excess, stimulating the cells in the muscular layer of the temporal arteries located over the temples, can cause migraine headaches. Excess calcium can constrict the smooth muscles surrounding the small airways of the lung, causing restricted breathing and asthma. Finally, too much calcium without the protective effect of magnesium can irritate delicate nerve cells of the brain. Cells that are irritated by calcium fire electrical impulses repeatedly, depleting their energy stores and causing cell death. That's called excitotoxicity. So you can see, oh my goodness, how important this mineral is. Numbness and tingling. If you often feel, back to Dr. Jockers, number 9, numbness out of 10, numbness and tingling. If you often feel numbness or tingling sensations in your body, such as in the hands and feet, this is likely due to a change in nerve activity. For example, peripheral neuropathy, a common side effect of diabetes, is characterized by these sensations. Because of its role in healthy nerve transmission, magnesium deficiency may at least in part be playing a role here. Limited research has been performed on this mechanism specifically, but some studies have shown that magnesium may be able to relieve or prevent numbness and tingling in the extremities. This effect has been highlighted in research showing protective properties against peripheral neuropathy induced by certain cancer therapies. Yes, and I would mention cisplatin. is one of the oldest chemotherapies that we have. It's used in most chemotherapy cocktails today for hard tumor, solid tumor things, and especially cisplatin is usually always involved in breast cancer chemotherapy. Major causes of magnesium deficiency. reduced intake, poor diet, low in magnesium, prolonged nutrient restriction, poor absorption, leaky gut syndrome, low stomach acid, irritable bowel, right? You got acid reflux, so you're on a proton pump inhibitor, and magnesium deficiency is very strongly correlated with low stomach acid and the use of the proton pump inhibitors, the eprazoles, the omeprazoles, Prilosec. Irritable bowel, chronic diarrhea. Increased excretion can be caused by, so you're getting rid of a lot of magnesium. Here, high carb diet, high alcohol usage, that's a huge one. It's one of the big problems with alcoholism is magnesium deficiency. In fact, if you take, I was thinking of actually of B1, so I'm not going to go there. But magnesium deficiency, so you will find things like the leg cramps that come with chronic alcohol use and other things. So you really need to, even if you just consider yourself a social drinker, make sure that you're putting your magnesium back because it uses it up. And you need to just keep putting it back. Laxative abuse, diuretic usage. So when you're on those pharmaceutical diuretics that get rid of excess fluid, heavy caffeine usage also depletes magnesium. And diabetes and insulin resistance. Sort of interesting because to prevent diabetes and insulin resistance, you need magnesium, but diabetes and insulin resistance use up your magnesium. So the main message there is get magnesium and keep getting magnesium. Mood disorders. Magnesium, this is number 10 in his list. Magnesium plays a crucial role in regulating neurotransmitter balance. Neurotransmitters are chemicals in the brain that regulate thought patterns and behaviors ranging from motivation to sleep to focus and many more. As mentioned before, magnesium is particularly involved in GABA production in the brain, which is a calming neurotransmitter. A poor ability to produce an adequate GABA in the brain results in conditions such as ADD, ADHD. None of that around today, is there? Wow, we're in an epidemic. Talk about epidemic, pandemics. Man, we got pandemics all over the place, and they have nothing to do with you know what. A poor ability to produce enough adequate GABA in the brain. That's a gamma butyric acid, but anyway, GABA in the brain results in conditions, blah, 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 anxiety, irritability, and general mood imbalances. If you identify with these feelings on a regular basis, you should consider increasing your daily magnesium intake. Look, you should just consider increasing your daily magnesium intake. Mental illness associated, illnesses associated with increasingly severe neuronal magnesium deficiency. Here we go. Insomnia, apathy, compulsion, migraine, cluster headache, habituation, hyperexcitability, IQ loss, ADHD, chronic coronary vascular disease, CVD, and stroke, autism, early Alzheimer's, Parkinsonism, irritability, confusion, inattention, anxiety, memory loss, hallucinations, depression, postpartum depression, bipolar disease, suicidal, ideation, suicide, and delirium. Whoa. So he says, you know, three ways to support magnesium level, magnesium-rich foods, Epsom salt baths, magnesium supplementation. Yeah, magnesium salt baths. We were talking about Epsom salts last week because we were talking about sulfur. So magnesium binds well with other minerals, and that's how we get our different forms of magnesium. Magnesium sulfate is what Epsom salts are. And so we're going to talk here a little bit about magnesium-rich foods. And then some of you out there, we've been hearing a lot about oxalates lately, and you're going to be going, oh my gosh, but I can't eat those foods because of the high oxalates. They're like everything in balance, right? Everything in balance. But the top 10 magnesium-rich foods are spinach, pumpkin seeds, yogurt, yogurt kefir, almonds, black beans, avocado, figs, dark chocolate, and banana. I have some really cool recipes I found. 4 magnesium-rich recipes. We've been eating a lot of these types of foods, I don't know, over recent months, even more, but these all really appeal to me. We have kale salad with cashew dressing and chickpea croutons, lentil and potato soup, broiled mackerel with spinach and pumpkin seed pesto, and ground nut stew with brown rice. I was like, what the heck is ground nut stew? So some of you might know, but I totally am going to make it. I might even make it today because it's kind of a one of those days we've got. It's sunny and then it's overcast and it rains a little bit, at least where I am here. So let me just go down and just tell you a little bit about that. It's got, olive oil, onion, ginger, fresh garlic, then cumin, coriander, salt, cinnamon, cayenne pepper, black pepper, vegetable stock, but we usually always have fresh made chicken stock in our refrigerator, so I would use that. 2 medium sweet potatoes, crushed tomatoes with chard, salted peanut butter, and cilantro. And you serve that with a nice brown rice. And that sounds really yummy to me. I think I'm going to make that. Another one is broiled mackerel with spinach and pumpkin seed pesto. And I always have like a good store. We always have a good store of nuts and seeds in our freezer. Keep them in the freezer because they go rancid if you don't. If the oils get, exposed to heat and all that kind of thing, keep them sealed up. Keep them in the fridge, the freezer. They'll last a good long time. And I usually shop around for mine online because they're very expensive and I can get better deals for high quality stuff, I find, if I take my time instead of just seeing whatever the heck I can get in the grocery store. Don't mean to anything against shop local, but sometimes shop smart doesn't mean shop local. Okay, so there's that. Those are really good. See the recipes. Where do I want to go now? One who actually put together that list. 9 signs you have magnesium deficiency and how to treat it. And people with type 2 diabetes, because we didn't really talk about that. Partly due to increased urination, type 2 diabetics and people suffering from insulin resistance are known to struggle with proper magnesium absorption. Lowering glucose concentrations in the kidneys through natural diet changes can be extremely helpful for these patients. It's interesting, too, because for people with kidney disease, sometimes we go, be careful with magnesium because as much as you need it, you don't want to overwhelm the kidneys. But Carolyn Dean talks about that and how you can, definitely need to use your magnesium, get your magnesium when you have kidney disease, anything. If you want to prevent kidney disease, so get your magnesium. The elderly are specifically at risk for several reasons. As people age, their magnesium levels drop. First and foremost, studies have shown that the elderly simply don't eat magnesium-rich foods as they did when they were younger. This is relatively easy to correct. The uncontrollable risk factor, however, is that as we age, we naturally experience reduced magnesium intestinal absorption, reduced magnesium bone stores, and excess urinary loss. A great way to get your magnesium without taking it by mouth is to use magnesium chloride. It's called magnesium oil, and it's not an oil. It is magnesium doesn't have an oil, and it's not magnesium extracted into oil. It is simply magnesium chloride, which is a liquid magnesium, and it has an oily consistency, and so they call it molecular consistency, so they call it oil. We have it, we have on our shelf magnesium gel that is made from magnesium chloride. It's just a little thicker than the magnesium chloride in the oil. And we recommend it all the time routinely to apply to the soles of the feet, to the legs, for getting the magnesium into the body through the skin, which magnesium chloride enters the body very well that way. And it is probably the best way to quickly increase your magnesium intake and kind of just flood your body with the magnesium it needs. And the soles of the feet are a great place to get that all throughout the body, the palms of the hands, the inner flaps of the ears up here. Well, up here, you can't see me, but up, you know, where above on the top there. Just in there, those are great places, but a great thing to do if you get cramps, muscle cramps at night and things like that. Again, make sure you do it, not just to relieve the cramps, because the cramps are telling you you have magnesium deficiency. It's not like, yeah, that's like the difference, right? It's not like you have cramps, so you're using magnesium because cramps make you feel, magnesium makes you feel better. It's because you have cramps because you don't have magnesium. So you want to get that there. And so it is much better than using something topical just to try, if you could, just to try to deaden the pain or stop the cramp, or taking a muscle relaxant, right? Very, very different. And so, and if you're getting leg cramps, that's what it's telling you. That's what it's telling you. And if your body is deficient too, it's just your legs are the ones that are screaming at you. I want to go here. I want to look at just a couple of things in the 107 abstracts with magnesium deficiency research. We've got about 8 minutes left here. We're supposed to open up. Oh, man, don't tell me that link doesn't work. It doesn't look like it works. Okay, let me see. Maybe my computer was just not able to. Okay, no, it does work. All right, thank God, because that one is a really good. So let me just open this up a little bit. Dietary magnesium intake and serum magnesium concentrations are inversely associated with the risk of total CVD, cardiovascular disease events. How much of that is going on today? Oh, man. Low serum level of magnesium seems to be a risk factor for osteoporosis among the postmenopausal women. Magnesium orotate is promising not only in treating mitral valve prolapse and compensating for low magnesium, but also in preventing and treating cardiac arrhythmias. Proton pump inhibitor use, Prilosec, a.k.a. Prilosec, a.k.a. omeprazole, may increase the risk of low magnesium. Serum magnesium levels inversely associated with risk of coronary artery disease. And here we have, some of the drugs here that deplete magnesium. Cisplatin, as I was talking about, the chemotherapy agent, metformin, used classically very often in people who are not even diabetic but have metabolic syndrome, have levels that are going on the high side of glucose, blood glucose, and hemoglobin A1C. Omeprazole, traded name Prilosec, statin drugs, antidepressants, and fructose. Those are some of the problem substances research for magnesium deficiency. So, found in, we've just got lower intake of magnesium and dietary fiber increases the incidence of type 2 diabetes in the Taiwanese. Chronic latent magnesium deficiency in obesity decreases positive effects of vitamin D on cardiometabolic risk factors. So, we've got to get our nutrients all together, right? We've got to get them all of our deficiencies. We've got to get our iodine there. I talked about lithium the first time we talked about deficiencies. Lithium, the trace mineral necessary to get the action of our B vitamins. Daily consumption of 500 milligrams magnesium oxide tablets leads to improvement in depression status. Dietary magnesium intake is associated with the prevalence of periodontitis, okay, so low magnesium. In fact, it's very interesting. The company I get our magnesium chloride from also has a product called magnesium prills. We used to carry them, and I'm going to start carrying them again. And these you can put on your toothbrush and brush your teeth and with magnesium chloride. Very healthy for the teeth. recipes. Okay, so there are a bunch of different forms. There are 10 different forms of magnesium that you can take in supplemental form. And so there, you can see there, and you can go there on my newsletter and really read more about them and see where some people are taking, you want to take more than one form of magnesium. People will say, well, if I'm taking the magnesium L-threonate, you know, for my memory and my brain, do I still have to take magnesium glycinate? Well, yes, you do, because you have to have some form of magnesium for your body, for the rest of your body. And then there are certain ones that are better for if you have certain problems. So magnesium and glycine, which is an amino acid for magnesium glycinate, it's best known to treat inflammatory conditions, including cardiovascular diseases and diabetes. And then magnesium lactate binds to lactic acid to form magnesium lactate. It's easily absorbed, gentle on the digestive system, and it's needed by the body to support the heart's functions, the nervous system, and the digestive system. Now, let me just tell you, you don't have to get every form of magnesium, right? You need to get a couple or something because they overlap, but this kind of just gives you kind of the differentiation. And people often ask me that. Magnesium and malic acid is magnesium malate. Several magnesium types. Magnesium malate provided the most bioavailable magnesium and is well tolerated when taken. It is likewise well absorbed in the digestive tract. Magnesium citrate is a saline laxative. Taking it often results in a bowel movement within 30 minutes to 3 hours. It's often used to clean the stool in the intestines prior to surgery or any bowel procedure. Magnesium chloride, that's the oil that we use. Magnesium oil is produced by magnesium chloride flakes dissolved in water. While not a true oil, it's referred, I told you that, readily absorbed into the skin and could raise magnesium levels in the body. Since it bypasses the GI tract, you don't get loose stools and things like that. Magnesium sulfate, Epsom salt, magnesium oxide, the least form of readily absorbed, so great for loosening the stools because it doesn't go anywhere else, basically it doesn't go anywhere else. And then magnesium taurate helps the body create bile, detoxifies the liver, supports digestion. Taurine brings magnesium to different cells in the body like nerve cells, heart cells, immune cells, skin cells, and others. Magnesium L-threonate for the brain, I talked about that, and orotate may boost your health, heart health by improving energy production in heart and blood vessel tissues. There are no clear studies yet to confirm. Anyway, you do want to be getting a couple of good sources. I would say, I would recommend this. I like magnesium L-threonate for the brain for everybody. And then I would definitely say either a magnesium glycinate or malate or chloride or a combination of those was probably where I would go. And then definitely you can do Epsom salt baths if you're a person who likes to soak in a bathtub. I'm not that type of person, but just know that that scared me. We have 90 seconds. The magnesium is a great way to get magnesium in there. It's just not as long lived in the body as it is when you use the magnesium chloride or rubbing into your skin. So that's all the time we have. I thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back next week talking more on why are we so sick, and let's not be so sick. Let's continue to get healthier and healthier and healthier and prevent getting sick. And we can do it if we know how. It isn't hard. We just have to know how. Thank you and have a wonderful day.